I invite you to turn, please, over to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read verse 15 through verse 17. Luke 18. Verse 15 says, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." My text will be verse 17. As one of the Lord's churches, we preach the gospel of the kingdom. That is, we tell of the good news regarding Christ's reign and how sinful man might find forgiveness and an entrance into Christ's kingdom. But as you know, the message is not readily received. In fact, the majority of people reject it. For some, it just doesn't make sense. For others, it is too simple. It's just too easy. Man must do something. And then for others, the requirements are too stiff. Some will not believe because they want proof. They want a sign or a vision. Some will not believe because it's contrary to what they know or what they have been taught. Some will not believe because they like their life and they refuse to change. Now, we might summarize the sinner's rejection by using words such as complexity. Well, that is, they make it too difficult or questionable. Their skepticism keeps them from trusting the truths as found in the Word of God. And unbelieving. They just cannot accept God's plan of redemption, so they will not bow the knee. They will not believe it. Of course, another word would be unresponsive. Since they do not accept the truth and will not believe the truth, they will not respond to the truth. That is, they will not come to Christ. Thus, the word pride enters into the picture. A man will not humble himself before Christ. His arrogance prevents him from yielding to Jesus. And as a result of this perspective or attitude, they find themselves outside of the kingdom of God. And they cannot enter in, but neither do they wish to do so. Now, my objective is to address man's entrance into the kingdom of God and to explain the manner in which a man may enter. And my answer will be that which is described for us by Jesus in the text. So I want to speak to you today from Luke 18, 17, a message I have entitled, "Like a Little Child." And let me say, if you're going to be saved, or if you're saved today, it's because you were like a little child. There just isn't any other way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who are here. And we ask that you would bless your word as it goes forth. Thank you for the opportunity to share our prayer requests one with another and to offer up our prayers to you. Thank you that we might sing hymns of praise and hear songs of praise to you. And Lord, we rejoice in all that. Now we ask you to bless your word. We ask you to save the lost today, convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and we pray that they might be saved. And we who are saved might rejoice in the salvation that we have. And even as your people, Lord, may we respond properly as you would have us to respond. God, we just commit this time to you today, and we honor you with it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about today for just a few moments a message entitled, "Like a Little Child." First of all, I want to deal with the context as we read from verse 15 down through verse 17. Very readily we see as we glance back into these verses. First of all, in verse 15, the first part of the verse, we find parents who desired the Savior's blessings on their children. And, I know this is just part of the text, but just keep in mind that that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with bringing your children to Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think that's a great thing. You ought to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But what we have is that some parents were bringing their children to Jesus, and whether they accepted him as the Messiah or not, they saw him as a good teacher, they saw him as a great worker, and they were bringing these children unto him. Secondly, you find in the latter part of verse 15 that the disciples saw that these people bringing these children as a distraction. They saw it as something that was just going to be a hindrance, and they disapproved of the action. So we see with the disciples, when they saw it, they rebuked them. as they just seem to, they can just end up manipulating all the Savior's time, and so we can't handle that, and so quit coming, don't bring your kids, he doesn't have time for you. That's kind of the idea. Well, the disciples rebuked these parents bringing the children. Then we also read in verse 16 that though with the best of intentions, the apostles were corrected by Jesus. Jesus called unto them, unto him, and then he began to speak. The fact of the matter is that Jesus didn't mind the parents bringing the children. In fact, he enjoyed that. He encouraged that. He says, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And so the apostles, they meant well, but they were just a little bit off base. How did you found that that's possible that we could do that too? You mean well. Preachers mean well sometimes. Teachers mean well. You mean the best of intentions, and sometimes it's just not really the right thing. It happens, doesn't it? And so we need to understand that that happens. The apostles are doing what they thought was the best. And they weren't trying to be harsh or mean or cruel. They just didn't think that that's what the Lord would want. And Jesus corrected them in their error. And so then when we read the last part of verse 16, we were reminded that he spoke of how that the kingdom was likened unto the matter of a little child. And he says, "For such is the kingdom of God." And so Jesus used little children as an example or an illustration about the kingdom. And so what we find here, first of all, very simply, is that he gave approval of receiving children. Nothing wrong with that. And we should be interested in children. And then secondly, they exemplify the kingdom's residence. "For of such is the kingdom of God." Now that's not mean to be interpreted to where everybody that's in the kingdom of God are just kids. That's not the point as a matter of immaturity or maturity. It's the perspective, it's the attitude, and we intend to express that in just a moment. But Jesus made it very clear here in reference to the kingdom of God. He says, "For of such is the kingdom." These little children. So it's that kind of concept of being expressed with their attitude and perspective of children. That's what you find within the kingdom of God. Now then, in verse 17, we find that the lesson is offered unto them, and he makes a lesson or a principle that he gives them here in verse 17. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." And so he says, here's a lesson. Here's what I'm going to take this opportunity to teach you something about the kingdom of God. So a lesson is offered. We're going to discuss the elements of that lesson in just a second. Let me say unto you very clearly as well, do not interpret that, well, the only time you can ever enter the kingdom of God is when you're a child. That's not the lesson of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying that only kids up to a certain age, and then after that, well, you can't be saved. I don't think that's true at all. It's the matter of perspective or attitude or approach. And if you're not going to be like a little child, then you're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom. But he's certainly not saying that only kids can ever be saved. If that were true, then there would be so many of us that would be left out, wouldn't there? And so I realize that there's a lesson that's being offered. Let's think about that lesson. And so I want to look at the elements that we find here in verse 17. So, but passing from the context to the elements of the lesson, first of all, when we look at the text and he's talking about whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise enter therein, I find the matter of the kingdom of God. The matter of the kingdom. There is a kingdom. Now, specifically, I would say unto you and define it as Christ's kingdom. You say, "What's the kingdom of God?" Well, Christ is God. This is the kingdom of God. This is Christ's kingdom. Easton's Bible Dictionary lists these three things under the kingdom of God, stating that the kingdom of God is representative or is Christ's mediatorial authority. That is, his rule on the earth. Well, that's part of it. But also, it is the blessings and advantages of all kinds that flow from this rule. So Christ rules, and then there's the privileges and blessings that come from that rule. And then the last thing is this, the kingdom of God is understood as the subjects of this kingdom taken collectively. And, we're not in a kingdom in the United States of America, but let's just say we're Americans, and we can understand that concept. And so people who are in the kingdom of God are considered as the kingdom of God. I mean, you can apply the term. And so we're servants of the kingdom. I think it's necessary to understand that Christ is on his throne. He does rule. He does reign. He has a kingdom. But further, as the kingdom of God is discussed, it is that which Jesus spoke of often. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this: its use by Jesus is by far its most interesting aspect, for it is his watchword or comprehensive term for the whole of his teaching. And really, if you look through the scriptures and you see where Jesus said the kingdom of God is this and that and all that, it's his expression of what the kingdom is like. And so it involves the teaching of Christ. And he was using those things as an illustration to teach of what the kingdom was about. And so he would often use illustrations and analogies. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a tree and that kind of a thing. But it involved the teaching of Christ. Further, and it might be from our view, that which is in regard to the matter of salvation and everything that's attached to it. When we think about it, and I just mentioned a moment ago that if you're saved, you're part of the kingdom. And I believe that. As a Christian, I am part of the kingdom of God. And He is on His throne, and I am a servant of His. Again, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, and I quote, "In the early Christian centuries, the kingdom of God was used to designate heaven itself." And you probably have that idea when you think about the kingdom of God. Don't you think about heaven? You do. That's generally how we view it. And so he says, continued on with the encyclopedia, quote, said that this is really the meaning of the phrase, "even in the mouth of Jesus." He's talking about that which pertained to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and yet it's the kingdom of God here on this earth. And remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, he says, "My kingdom from this world, none of my servants would fight. My kingdom's not from here." And so we're in this world, but we're not of it. You know why? Because we're servants of another kingdom. We're just passing through. We're just travelers through this life. But he talks about the kingdom of God. And permit me to say, before we pass on from this, that although the kingdom of God is yet to be received in its fullness, and understand what I say by that we are presently servants of the kingdom and enjoy many of its benefits even now. And so, yes, I'm a servant of the kingdom, but I'm not entered into all the kingdom benefits yet. That won't happen until I see Jesus face to face and step into His presence. But I certainly wouldn't say, well, there's no aspect of the kingdom of heaven now. Absolutely not. And so there are aspects of it. I am part of His kingdom. If you're saved, you're part of His kingdom. You're servants. And that which we do, that which we labor, that which we preach and teach involves the kingdom. And so as I mentioned in the introduction, we speak of the gospel of the kingdom. So we share the good news of Jesus Christ so that others might know about the kingdom of God. So we look into our passage, we see something about a kingdom. Now we also find that the kingdom may be received. He says, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God." So the kingdom of God may be received, it may be entered into. Thus, what I learn from this is that a natural man is outside the kingdom of God. Everyone who is lost is outside of the kingdom of God. It is not the fatherhood of God and all that. You know what? There's not a universal... I know God is the God and creator of the universe, but it's not that every man is part of God's kingdom, not the kingdom of Christ. That belongs to those who are His servants. The natural man is outside that kingdom, and he needs to enter into that kingdom. And he says, well, there are some who will if you do not receive the kingdom will be received or it can be entered into. So we see a kingdom that may be entered into. But I also find implied here that the kingdom is offered. Or may I say it's available. Before you were saved, in my perspective, from my understanding of the Scripture, you were outside of the kingdom of God. You were lost. As a matter of fact, you were a child of the devil and you're in part of his kingdom, as it were. But you know what happened? Someone brought the gospel to you by God's grace and by His mercy. You heard the preaching, you heard the teaching, you read it somehow, some way. You knew the truths of the Scripture about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And God, by His grace and mercy, worked in your heart. But the kingdom was offered to you. Salvation was offered to you. Forgiveness of sins was presented to you, wasn't it? You didn't believe it, you didn't understand it, you didn't buy into it. But somehow it was presented. And I submit unto you that if the kingdom may be received by those who are outside of the kingdom must be offered. I know it's just an implication of the text, but it just makes sense to me. And so when we think about those who are lost, who are outside the kingdom, do you know what our responsibility is? To offer them the kingdom. We need to offer them Jesus Christ. I think that's our obligation. And by the way, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is commissioned to do that. And so we as members of the church ought to be involved in that capacity. But I see the kingdom as being offered. Now, I also want to submit unto you, when you look at verse 17, that the constituents of the kingdom may be whosoever. Don't be afraid of that word, whosoever. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not in no wise enter therein. Whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Whosoever will, whosoever is athirst, let him come and take the water of life freely. Whosoever. You say, well, I thought you believed in the sovereignty of God, and I thought you believed in God's control over the matters of salvation and all that. I do believe that, but I believe in whosoever. I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do I stumble over that? Not one bit whatsoever. I read in the text, a whosoever, whosoever. And so the constituents of the kingdom may be whosoever. And then number five, you'll look that those who have entered the kingdom must have a child's perspective. Now Jesus made that very clear. Verse 17, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Again, we're not talking about age group. We're not talking about maturity level. We're talking about the attitude or perspective of a little child. We'll elaborate upon that in just a moment. So I say unto you today, if you're saved, you've entered into the kingdom of God, you had to have possessed the attitude of a little child, or you would not have entered in. How do I know that? Because Jesus made it very clear that you won't. Now then, let me say this last thing in regard to this. Some may desire to enter, but will be refused entrance. So I don't understand that. Well, do you think it's possible that somebody might want to enter into the kingdom of God, might have some sort of concept, desire, interest in those kind of things, but they will not be as a little child? Have you ever witnessed and witnessed and witnessed and witnessed, and they show an interest, they show some sort of concern, but they won't bow the knee to Jesus. They will not yield. They will not be saved. But Jesus said that there are people who will not enter therein. And so some will not receive. They will be refused entrance. You know why? Because they won't be as a little child. They won't accept that perspective or adopt that attitude. Now, what kind of attitude is this? The third point of my message then is a child's perspective. And how I want to discuss this is just look into the Scriptures and point out to you the terminology, and you can take from it what you will. I will give some quality points of children in just a moment, and then we'll be through. A child's perspective. In our text, we find, and there are two different terms in the New Testament Scriptures, generally that can be translated or is translated, is the word child. Both of them are found in our passage before us, but I want to make a distinction in them just for the sake of your understanding. You're not going to see the difference when you read the English language. Now, I'm going to begin at verse 17 because that's where our lesson is found. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. This word is a very common term in the New Testament Scriptures. It's the word paideion, and this word means an infant. It is a babe. It comes from the main root of a Greek word, which means a child. Now, obviously, this is in the singular, a little child, and so you have paideion. But if you back up to verse 16, he says, suffer little children. Now, you find that in the plural, and all that word is the plural aspect of the word paideion. And so it means the same thing. Actually, the Greek word is paideia. So you find the same term, just in the plural. But it's the same concept, isn't it? An infant or a babe. Back up to verse 15. Now here's the kicker. Here's a different term that's used when he says they brought unto him also infants. Infants. For whatever reason, Luke, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used a different Greek word here. And this word means a child or an infant or a babe. It means the same kind of concept, but also can be used even as for a fetus. And it's used for the idea of a child who is partly grown. So we understand, in either of those terms, we understand children. We understand little children. And so for whatever reason, in verse 15, the word infants, we use a different Greek term. But when we look at these other passages, they all come back to the same word, paideion. And so don't be confused. But turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. just want to list it to you that those terms and what those words mean. And what I'm offering to show you is the parallel passages is recorded for us. Very, very similar, but I'm just pointing out to you these terms again, and they're all the same. It'll only take a moment to read these verses and to go through them. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through verse 16, it says, if you look in verse 15, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Same word that we found over there in the book of Luke, the paideion. Verse 14, suffer little children. See the plural? Paideia. Verse 13, and they brought young children to him. Same kind of concept, even though there's just a little bit of different nuances in our English language. Same concept, child, little children. This one is in the plural. Matthew chapter 19, the third parallel reference that this is recorded in, the same event, and these three texts that I'm giving you are texts of Luke 18, Mark chapter 10, and Matthew 19. Verse 13 through verse 15 covers these verses, but in verse 14, Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's paideia, it's a plural, little children. Verse 13, they were brought unto him, little children. Same word, it's in the plural. But go back another page to Matthew chapter 18. Even though those three texts that we just quickly looked at dealt with the same story as revealed by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus uses a child as an illustration on a different occasion, and we pick it up in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 3, and then we'll note verse 4 in just a moment. Matthew 18, 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, verse 3, very clearly, the plural, little children, same as we've been finding. It's in the plural. Back in verse 2, he said a little child. It's in the singular, it's paideia. And verse 1, verse 4, skip down to there. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, again in the singular, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Same word, same terms all the way through, little child. Now, I understand as parents, your children are children all your life, you know, and they're always, you know, my mom always said, you're my baby. And I was 45. She still called me her baby. Well, that's true for her. And I have two boys. We have two boys. And you know what? They're our children, but they're not little anymore. And they're pretty good size. They pass both me and height and weight. And so they're men now. But I remember when they were little. And any of you that had children, you remember your children when they were little or as they're still little? You know how they are, right? Now what we think about here, and you just consider the fact that we're looking into the text about the kingdom of God, the lesson of the kingdom of God. You're certainly welcome to go back to the text in Luke 18 if you wish. Little children. And unless you accept the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter therein. Now let's think about little children. And let's just offer some characters, qualities of little children. I'm just going to list these. We'll make an application in just a moment. I'll be through with the message in just a moment. You know one thing I find about children is they're very simple. That's just the nature of a child. And I realize you can always talk something and say, well, what about this prodigy or that prodigy, you know? And I'm sure that there's maybe those kids that at their age of two speak six different languages and can do mathematical formulas that I could never even scratch. I understand that. But generally, you know what? Kids are kids. And what you find about children is they're very simple. That's why when you go to pre-K and into kindergarten, and for me it was kindergarten. Now they do pre-K and pre-pre-K and now they're pre-pre-pre-K. But I mean, what is it? What do they start with? Colors? Numbers? You get them, first of all, say mom and dad, and you're thrilled to death with that. They're just very simplistic. And so how many of you remember See Dick Run? See Jane Run? Very simple stuff. They didn't just toss you out there and, try to read Tolstoy. You know, it just didn't happen. Kids are very simple. Talk to any teacher. And you have to apply the principles to their age and maturity. So as they develop, you certainly want to make it a little bit more complex. But when we deal with children, we deal with them from simplicity. So we make it as plain as we can, as clear as we can. We try not to garble it up. Simplicity. That's the quality of a little child, isn't it? Second, I would submit unto you, trusting. A child is very trusting. And that's why we always try to teach them not to trust. Huh? Because they're trusting. Don't ever go with a stranger. You know, don't take candy from them and all that kind of thing. You know why? Because we know they're trusting. A child will trust anybody. They're also believing. They'll believe any story anytime. I remember when my kids were young, I mean, they were small, and my dad and stepmother came to visit us one time, and my dad, he's got the lamest stuff he ever did all of his life. I've adopted it, and I'm passing it on to my children. All the lame stuff I learned from my dad. Well, my dad, when we were kids, he would sit there and he'd pull his shirt up, you know, and then he'd put his thumb to his mouth and he'd blow on his thumb and then he'd flex his bicep. Well, we'd think he's blowing up his arm. Now, that seems kind of dumb, but kids are simple. And so we'd sit there and he'd blow up his arm. Well, my dad was visiting us when the kids were young back in the 90s, and you know what dad did? Well, his grandpa's would do. Pulls up his sleeve. Blows up his arms, and my boys go, "Ooh, wow, that's great! Oh, you're strong!" And my stepmother said, "Yeah, he can lift the house. Wow! I mean, they were bought by another. You know why? Because they believe. Kids are believing, aren't they? Very simple, very trusting, very believing, and kids are very responsive. Generally, they'll respond. You know why? Because they do believe and because they do trust." And that's why when they dangle candy out there or some other kind of thing out there, you can get a kid to walk off, even though they know that they should never leave the house or leave the porch or leave the yard. They'll still get in the car with a stranger. Do you know why? Because they're responsive. That's what little kids are. And so we try to protect our children in our society, don't we? But that they're responsive. Now, back in Matthew chapter 18, we just read there just a moment ago, they're humble in heart. He said, unless you humble yourself as a little child. Kids are humble. There's not a lot. And I realize total depravity, and I know you can see sin in every child and all that, but generally, you know what? The kids haven't got all that figured out yet. You know, as they get older, the pride steps in, and the arrogance gets greater and greater. But little kids, you know, generally just humble. They're just simple-minded. They just go about their business. It's easy, isn't it? And one thing else I want to say about the qualities considered of a child is I find there's unconditional love found in a child. You know, kids, they'll play with anybody of any color, it doesn't matter. You know what? Until they're taught differently. They're unconditional. That doesn't matter. And you know what? There's a matter of unconditional love and the quality of a child. Spurgeon wrote this, and I quote, "A little child has no ambitious dreams. He is satisfied with little things. He trusts. He aims not at greatness. He yields to command. To rise to greatness of grace, we must go down to the littleness, the simplicity, and the trustfulness of childhood." And I think that's what Jesus is saying when he says that unless you're like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So let me offer you in my conclusion then just a few things. Number one, if you've not truly believed, that is, you're not saved, then you are presently outside the kingdom of God. I believe that with all my heart. If you're not saved, you're outside of the kingdom of God. But you are under the wrath and the judgment of God, and you need to understand that. Secondly, the kingdom of God is accessible, but only through repentance and forgiveness via the gospel. We offer you the kingdom of God, but it's not for you to join a church or be a good person or give money to me or anything like that, my friend. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. You repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. And so I offer you the kingdom today. You can have an entrance into the kingdom of God. And it's going to be through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be with the attitude of a child. Now think about this, and in closing then, this is my last point. Your attitude must be that of a little child. You must be simple. Some people just make it so complex. and they're trying to connect all the dots, and they try to understand all the theology, and they can't understand why it is they get no more nearer to Christ than what they were when they began their search. It's because they make it too complex. Trying to figure it all out. You have to be simple like a child. I think that kind of leads to the matter of trusting. The Word of God states what it states. Will you believe it? Will you trust the Word of God? I read in 1 John that people that are lost call God a liar because they believe not the record that God gave of His Son. You don't trust it, you don't believe it, and you don't trust God. I'll tell you, the Word of God is true, and it tells us about who we are and our condition, tells us of our sin, the judgment, the wrath, our inability, our spiritual bankruptcy. It tells us of Jesus, the mighty to save, that God commended His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you believe it? Will you trust it? Will you trust the Word of God to tell you the truth? And I think then that leads to the matter of believing. If you don't trust me, then you're not going to believe anything I tell you. If my kids will not trust me as a parent, they're not going to believe me. And I see that we have to be like little children. We have to be simple. We have to trust where that information is coming from, and then we must believe it. You're saved today because of God's grace and mercy, but He brought it to you through belief, didn't He? You must believe. And of course, if a person trusts and a person believes, he'll respond. If you don't trust, you don't believe, you won't respond. And there's just a huge number of lost people out there that are curious about heaven, but they will not trust the Word of God, they will not trust God, they will not believe, and they will not respond. You're outside the kingdom, you need to respond. If you don't trust, you don't believe, you're not going to. But also, I think you need to adopt the matter of the humility of heart. Haven't you found that our society, we're so arrogant, we're so self-centered, conceited. That's the generation. Will you humble yourself? Tell somebody you need to repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your knee and trust Jesus to be your Savior? Will you yield your heart and life to Him? And they go, "No, sir, I will not. I'm my own man. I pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I'll make my own way." And you'll go right into hell too. My friend, you must be humble in heart. Will you admit that you're a sinner? Would you confess that you're condemned and doomed to a devil's hell? Would you admit that you can't do anything about that because you're depraved? Would you see Jesus Christ high and lifted up? Would you repent and believe? Would you call upon Him and be saved today? You got to be humble in heart. And then I think what we'll find is issuing out of that is an unconditional love. You know, one of the earmarks of the Christian is that they love the brethren. I think we'll love God without condition, we'll love the others without condition. It's just part of it. And so as a child of the kingdom, these attributes had to be part of me in some degree in order for me to enter into the kingdom. And they should continue to be part of me as I continue to serve in the kingdom. And so it's an exhortation to those of us who are saved to, hey, let's develop these attributes and let's be as God would have us to be. And if you're lost, that you might see your need of Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to ever enter into the kingdom of God is to be like a little child. That's the only way Jesus saves people. Would you do that today? Quit trying to figure it out. Simply trust God. Believe His Word. Respond. Would you call upon Him and be saved? Sinner, I pray that you will. And I pray that for those of us who are saved, we find instruction from this as well, that we might be found faithful. Like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? Like a little child. May God grant His grace to rest upon us to be just like that. The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, that you would deal with God as God deals with you. If you need help, you're welcome to come. But we just want you to do as God would have you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We ask you to save the lost, strengthen the saved. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we pray that you'd be honored and glorified in this service and in these people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?